Amen. I believe God's not done in this house tonight. Amen. I don't know that I've ever sat there and just struggled in myself like I did tonight. I wasn't able to be here this morning. My father-in-law was speaking at his home church down in Panama City. And I just got here and I was just sitting here and I've never felt so disconnected. God was just doing such an amazing work in here. I'm struggling because, God, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever doubted having the Word of God like I do tonight. But I can tell you, after everything that's transpired, I'm convinced. I am convinced that there is a word to be spoken in this house tonight. It is the word from God, and I'm so thankful tonight. I'm so thankful tonight. Before I go too much farther, I have to honor my father. He's here tonight. I wish I could really put into words what my dad means to me. Man, I'm telling you, I look back on my childhood and I appreciate all the baseball games and the practices and putting me in the best deer stands and all of those things. I appreciate all that. But you know what stood out the most to me about my childhood? Is when I would be out in the yard shooting basketball and I could hear my dad praying in his shed. Oh, speaking in tongues. He taught a Sunday school class every Saturday afternoon that he taught that next Sunday. My dad would be out there studying, praying in tongues every night. Every night, I would sit there and I would see my dad go to sleep and I'd see him turn that lamp on by his bed and he'd pull out the Word of God and he'd spend time in God's Word before he went to sleep. Those are the things that I really remembered. Those are the things that pushed me towards God. It wasn't the baseball games. It wasn't everything that he helped me to do. It was seeing my father chase Jesus. And he came up and hugged me, and I started to go back and tell you this in private. But God told me to tell you in front of all of these people here tonight that every heavenly reward that my life produces will be added to you because you were faithful over the small details in my life. Great, your reward will be in heaven. And I just want to honor you tonight, Daddy. I love you. Hallelujah. You're a treasure. I don't get to talk to you and see you near enough. This is the first time in 7 years I've been able to be in service with my dad on a Father's Day. It means the world to me that I can preach and that you're here tonight. So tonight I'm going to preach on faith. And the title of my message is, Will He Find Faith When He Comes? Jesus is coming back. Oh, he's coming back soon. Oh, so soon. We're closer than we've ever been. And what's the one thing he's going to look for? It's going to be faith. Oh, but what kind of faith is he looking for? Not just the kind that confesses who he is, but men and women of God who walk by faith. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 through 6. You don't have to stand. I know we've gone through a lot tonight. I'm so thankful for what God did. I'm just going to read a handful of verses. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. Yes, James chapter 2, verse 26 says, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Right. We must become men and women of faith who do the works of Christ. Yes, far too long have we sat by idly waiting on God to come back. And if truth be told, he came back and you were found not doing the works of faith, I'm pretty much convinced from what I've read, we're not going to split the clouds of glory. Luke chapter 18, verse 8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. This is Jesus speaking. He says, Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Yes. Enoch pleased God and was translated. How did he please God? I'm not the sharpest tool in the box, but Enoch's one of my favorites about very briefly. You know who Enoch's father was? His father was Cain, the man who killed his brother. So now you've got the second generation. Enoch comes on the scene. But you know what? He said, I don't care what my daddy did. I don't care what my mama did. I don't care what my granddaddy did. Let's not forget, Adam and Eve were the ones who messed it up for all of us. Enoch said, by faith, I'm going to please God. By faith, he pleased God. What is faith? I'm going to read Hebrews 11, 5 through 6 in the Amplified Version. I love to cross-reference different versions of the Bible. It says, by faith that pleased God, Enoch was caught up and taken to heaven so that he would not have a glimpse of death. And he was not found because God had taken him. I'm ready to be taken by God. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received the testimony still on record that he had walked with God and that he had pleased him. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God. Oh, I'm going to say that again. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists. That's the first part of faith. But see, what we've done is we've made faith into salvation. Faith goes beyond salvation. Faith is what allows you to accept grace and mercy into your life, but that is not where faith stops. It is not where faith ends. The next part says, and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him.
Yes, sir.
Are you really earnestly and diligently seeking the Father tonight?
Come on.
What is the reward that we're after? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I told my dad, we were talking like a week and a half ago. I was talking and kind of preaching on the phone. He was just weeping and speaking in tongues. I said, Daddy, let me tell you what. I said, I've heard of the streets of gold. I've heard of the crystal river. I know there's a mansion with my name on it. I know that Abraham's going to be in heaven. Sarah's going to be there too. Esther, John the Beloved, John the Baptist, Peter. All of these people of faith will be there. But none of that interests me. I'm not searching to run and ask Abraham what he did on this earth. I want to go to heaven. And when I walk through those pearly gates, said, where's the one that paid it all on Calvary for me? I love to read the stories of the people of faith. I love to hear the accounts and read these things, but that's not what I'm going to heaven for. My faith is not what these men and women did. My faith is in what they pursued. I'm telling you now. I mean, I've just said, God, send your son quickly. I'm ready to go. But faith is more than just a belief in God, but it's a never-ending pursuit of him. Never-ending pursuit of him. Until we cross over into glory, we should never stop pursuing Christ. So now we're going to talk about faith. And it's dealing with a lot of things that have already been spoken in this house tonight. The first point I want to make about faith is that faith produces promises. Faith produces promises. If there's some promises in your life tonight that haven't come to pass, it's time to get up and walk in faith again. Come on now. Y'all gonna have to help me preach. I know we've been here a while, but you're gonna have to help me. Faith keeps walking. Brother Shoes preached a message like that. I went and listened to it. Man, I'm telling you, you should look it up on YouTube one time. I'm telling you, it'll bless your heart. It'll bless your heart. If there's some promises in your life tonight that haven't come to pass, then stand back up on your feet and take it one step at a time and say, Jesus, I know that you died on a cross for me. And if you were willing to do that, then Jesus, surely those things that you promised me will come to pass.
Yes,
Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. For by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, otherwise known as tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
Yes,
for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because she did what? She judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable.
Come on.
In Genesis, Jesus, God looked at Abraham and he said, Abraham, he said, get up and walk, and wherever your feet go, that will be an inheritance for you and your children and all of the children of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Faith is proactive. Faith is active. Faith does not sit. Faith does not stand still. Faith is always moving with God.
Yes,
he said, wherever your feet go. Abraham got up. I just believe, you know, it's got to be dusty over there. I've never been there. It's got to be dusty. It's a desert. Yeah. Abraham got up. I just believe he dusted that dust off of his feet and his knees. And he got up and he started walking. Where was he walking? Towards the promises of God. It's time for some of you in this house. You've looked and you've seen people gathering their promises before you, and it's time for you to stand up and once again to walk to what God told you to do.
Yes.
Abraham obeyed. That's the key to faith. Yeah. Obey.
Yes.
Some of our promises have not come to pass because we quit walking a long time ago when things got tough. Oh, man. Things got tough. We like to just sit down and give up. We're going to this place of self-preservation. God, I'm just going to believe you'll just send your promise to me. It's too hard to do what you've asked me to do. And God said, I told you, Abraham, get up and walk. Sarah, Abraham was promised through Isaac that his inheritance, his seed, would be as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea.
Yes.
An old man, Sarah, an old woman. But it was promised.
Yes.
We know they both laughed in their hearts. Let's not look at that tonight. Because it said that Sarah judged the one who made the promise, and she found him faithful.
Yes.
I want to ask you tonight, can you still judge the Father and find him faithful? Have you given up on your promises?
Praise the Lord.
Faith keeps walking.
Yes,
oh, come on. It's time for some Abrahams and some Sarahs to get back up and say, I don't care what it looks like. I might be old. I might be destitute. I might have a dry seed. Oh, but I'm going to keep on walking with God. Where has God asked you to walk in faith? And if he asked you to do it, are you doing it in obedience?
Yes.
Oh, because it's easy to find your own way to do things. And that will always create Ishmaels.
Yes,
it will always create Ishmaels. And then we sit back when the promise comes. Just like Brother McDonald preached, man, that was a profound message. And you have these two brothers.
Yeah.
You've got these two brothers fighting on the inside of you. Fighting on the inside of you. I'm telling you, if you'll just get up and do it the way God said to do it, when he said to do it, exactly how he said to do it, you won't have to deal with the Ishmaels and you'll receive your Isaac.
Yes.
But where does it all start? It starts from a word from God and obeying that word.
That's right.
My God, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight.
Come on.
It's time, I'm telling you, it's time for people in this house. At GFCC, God has asked you to do some things, and you have not done it.
Yeah.
It says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Oh, man, we like to just quote that, but I can tell you witchcraft ain't just some woman reading your palms.
Yeah.
If any of you have had any depth, any real encounter with real witchcraft, you know how dark and demonic that is. I'm telling you, I had a dream one time. Woke me up just, out of the clear blue. I was in the Rainbow Store. I live right by the Rainbow Store in Greenhead. I was in the Rainbow Store in my dream. And this girl walks in. If I saw her tonight, I could point her out. I mean, it was that clear. She walks in the door, and literally the next instant, we are nose to nose. It was like she just, like, transported to me. I can't even explain it. I just remember just seeing her face just right in front of mine. I shot up in the bed. I was so distraught. I couldn't even explain it. My heart was racing. I knew it was demonic. I got up and I went to pray in my closet. It didn't take much longer. My wife heard me. I heard her next door and hers praying too. In that moment, I got up. I said, I don't know what this means. I said, but I know that that was demonic. It was like maybe 2 or 3 days later. My wife was not home. Nobody was home. It was just me in my house. And I became so sick. I became so ill. We weren't even going to church here yet. I remember laying on my bathroom floor. I was convinced that I was about to die. My elbows, from my elbows down to my fingertips, went numb. From my kneecaps to down to my toes went numb. I was completely numb of all of my extremities. I called my wife. I don't even know how I dialed her number. I got her on the phone. I said, you've got to come home. I need you to pray. Reach out for people to pray. She reached out to one of her friends, Heather Rowell. Heather began to pray. She messaged Ariana that night. I'm telling you, I knew it was a demonic attack from hell. She prayed, and she told Ariana later that night, my wife got home and prayed for me in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I felt it break off of my life when my wife came and prayed for me. Spouses, you better be full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on now. You better be full of the Holy Ghost, because you never know when your spouse is a life or death situation. She prayed for me. Ariana called Heather up on the phone, and Heather said, I'm telling you, I was praying for your husband. And she said, God directed me to pray against witchcraft. Never seen this girl in my life. My sister-in-law, I wish her and Tommy were here tonight. Isabella came to the house 2 days after that. We were talking. I shared the dream. I shared how vivid this girl looked. Isabella's face went white as a ghost. I'm telling you, it's like she had seen a legitimate ghost in that house. She pulled up a picture on her phone. It was the girl from my dream. Come to find out, this girl's mother is one of the head witches in Washington County. So when we say rebellion is as the sin as witchcraft, this woman cast a spell on me that I've never even seen in my life, that I didn't know existed from Adam. I'm telling you, it all started with a dream. If it's that real, and we say that rebellion is a sin as witchcraft, then when you rebel as God, you are living in a demonic realm.
Yes, sir.
It's a whole lot easier just to say yes when God asks you to do something. What do you have to be afraid of? Jesus took care of it all on Calvary. So what? I might have to give up some comforts of life. You know what? It's all worth it.
Yeah.
As the sin is witchcraft. I'm telling you, that's just a real experience. I thank God that's been my only brush with it. I'm telling you, I was convinced I was dying. Never thought that in my life. I'm 29 years old. I'm not as skinny as I used to be, but I'm in pretty good shape. And I'm laying on my bathroom floor convinced, man, I'm dying. Come to find out, it was from a witch that I never even met. Don't you tell me that they don't know what they're doing. Oh, come on. They're praying. They're seeking. They're casting things on people. There have been times my wife and I have woken up in the middle of the night simultaneously and just feel this darkness over our house. We've binded together in prayer. Why? So that we could get some clear air between us and heaven. That's how real it is. And that's how real it is. That's how God looks at it when you disobey what he's asked you to do.
Yes, sir.
And then we sit back and we wonder, God, why haven't our promises come to pass? And he sits there and he says, I've asked you to do one thing. And until you obey me and do that one thing, you're not going to inherit the promises. You won't inherit the promises. So some of you tonight, you're going to finally surrender and do what God's asked you to do. And you're going to walk in faith and you're going to do it the exact way, the right way that God asked you to do it.
Help us, God.
I just believe that in my heart.
Help us,
The second point being, faith prefers the presence of God beyond the promise. Faith prefers the presence beyond the promise. But you know what so many of us do? We sit around waiting for the promise that we miss the presence.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Yeah. Hebrews 11, 13 through 19. It said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say these things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac that shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham was willing to lay down Isaac on the altar. The problem with some of us is once we receive the promises, they start to take elevation over who God is in our life.
Come on now. You're helping us. Jesus.
I've been guilty of this.
Yes.
Good things from above.
Yeah.
Now taking precedence over who God was in my life.
Come on. Come on.
You must not love the promise more than the one who granted you the promise.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Oh, man. I'm going to say that one more time. You must not love the promise more than the one who gave you that promise. Abraham dwelled in Canaan land. It said he dwelled in the promised land. Let that sink in for a minute. The very land that the children of Israel ended up wandering in the wilderness for. Abraham lived there. He dwelled in the promised land with Isaac and Jacob, who were also heirs of Abraham's promise. Can I tell you that you can still receive promises and be heavenly minded?
Yeah. Yes, sir, you can. That's good. Jesus.
We're tilling some deep ground now. Y'all getting quiet on me.
Come on.
Because what we'll find is these promises become idols in our lives.
Yes.
You know why he had to put Isaac on that altar? Because God had to test his heart. And say, will you be willing to give it back to me?
Come on. Help us, God. Help us, Jesus.
God looked at Abraham. He said, Abraham, don't you kill that son.
Right.
It said his only begotten son.
Begotten.
Oh, because that father who spoke from heaven, oh, he had an only begotten son that he was going to send down on this earth.
Yeah.
Oh, but instead of turning away and rescuing him, he turned his head so that you and I could obtain the greatest promise of all. That of eternal life. Let me ask you this. If God took your promises away, wouldn't it be worth it for that death to have Christ resurrect in you? That's the whole point of putting it on the altar. He may ask for it and keep it. And if he does, you know what? That's fine. Because I've judged him faithful. And I've found that whatever I've given to him, oh, hear me, he's always turned around and it's always resurrected as Christ in my life. Always, from a young boy, God's asked me to make decisions, and I can point back and say every single time he has been faithful. I'm going to be very, we've shared this with our Sunday school, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but God has asked us to sell our home. I've got a beautiful home. I'm telling you, I worked hard, put in a lot of hours at work, made sacrifices, missed out on things with my family. I've got 10 acres of the most beautiful flat property that I've ever seen. It's my dream house on my dream property.
Jesus.
Jesus laid it on my heart. He said, would you sell it all? He dealt with my wife at the same time. And I sat there and I struggled with it, but just for a brief moment. Oh, man, I would like to say and tell you that I toiled all night for weeks straight at a time. It was hard. It hurt to lay it on the altar. Oh, but, man, I'm telling you, I gave it to God. And through that, I have already, my wife and I have already shared our testimony with complete strangers that we did not know. People calling, inquiring about our house, found out that they were in ministry themselves. And we said, we're giving it to God. I'm telling you, this is going to get really real with you. We stand to make a lot of equity on our home. My parents, one of the things they taught me, thank God, they prepared me well financially, to be just prepared financially. I came to grips that God, I'm going to give you my house and my property. But it got really real when he said, will you give me every dime of equity? Every single dime. I've got a wife and two small children. You know what God's called me to do? Go on the road and evangelize to the church.
Come on.
So now he's asking me to sell my house and give him every single dime that I own. Oh, now that one took a little longer to submit to. I'm telling you, I don't know that I've died a death like that one in a long, I mean, probably never. And I sat there and I just wept before the Lord. And I'm telling you this. I came to the honest conclusion. I said, God, I will give you every single dime. And in a moment of time, I'm telling you, hold on just a second. In a moment's time, he spoke to my heart. He said, son, I don't gotta have your money. I just had to know that I had your heart. You see, we struggle with these things when God asks us for certain things in our lives. But God, you promised that. That was a promise in my life, Tyler, that house, all of this. I was like, God, you promised me this. And he said, but I want it. I want it, but I got to know that I've got your heart. Some of you tonight are withholding from God because you're scared what he's going to ask from you. And all he wants to know is, do I have your heart? Because if he has your heart, you'll be willing to sell your house. You'll be willing to quit your job. You'll be willing to sell your boat. You'll do it all for Christ. Now, the beautiful thing about this is, I'm not telling any of you to sell your house. Because works without faith is just as dead as faith without works. So it's up to you as an individual to find out what God has for you to do. And once you find it out, by God, walk towards it. Don't stop. Don't look to the left or to the right. It's just like Rafe preached two Wednesday nights ago. You set your eyes on Jesus. If you'll set your eyes on the promise keeper, I promise you that before you get there, every promise that he promised you is going to come to pass. It's just how it works. What good is it for him to be a promise keeper if when I get to heaven, I look back and not every promise he promised me had come to pass? Rest easy tonight knowing that if I push and go towards Christ, you're going to see those children come back to Christ. Oh, but here's a great point I'd like to make. What if you're not here to see the promises? Abraham wasn't on this earth when his seed multiplied into the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. Will you still have the faith to press towards God when it looks, Brother Michael, like it's all, they're nowhere near where they want to be? Press towards God and you'll find that when you enter that in those clouds of glory, you'll look back and you'll judge God and you'll say, God, you are faithful. You may not see it with your own two eyes, but I'm here to tell you tonight and reaffirm it in your spirit that if God promised it and if you keep pressing towards God, you will find the promises will come to pass. If he promised you that your children are going to make it to heaven, rest easy tonight knowing they're going to make it to heaven. If you've got loved ones that there's been promise over them that they would make it, press towards God in faith knowing they're going to make it. It's time for some men and women to truly believe that when God says it, it's going to be so. You may not see it, but it's going to happen. So now we've dealt with the ones who've received the promise and they were willing to give it up. Abraham was willing to give Isaac back to the Lord, willing to sacrifice the very one and where all of his promises lied. Without Isaac, the seed can't be multiplied, but he was willing to give it back to God. But this is where I want to make a point, that we can become so consumed with waiting on the promise that we miss the presence. We cannot become so singularly focused on what God has promised us that we miss the presence of God himself. Matthew chapter 25. I was not going to read it, but I am going to read it now. Matthew 25. The parable of the 10 virgins. We're going to read the first 13 verses. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. How many of you know that there is no timetable of when your promise is going to come to pass? Yeah. Oh, come on now. Yeah. It may be in the midnight hour when you're least expecting it. And the cry from God can come and say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us in you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came.
Yeah.
Jesus. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There were 10 virgins in this parable that Jesus spoke of. 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. But you know what all 10 of them had in common? They were all in the right place at the right time. Waiting on the same promise.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man,
yes,
come
sir.
On now.
Yes, sir.
At the same place, at the same time, in the same unity, with the same promise, standing there waiting on the same thing.
Amen. Yes, sir. Come on.
But you know what happened? 5 of them became idle.
My God. Yes, they did.
And quit doing the very thing that would prepare them for the presence of the bridegroom.
Woo!
Half of them sat there and said in their hearts, probably ain't going to happen today.
That's right.
They began just to sit there and wait, await the promise, all the while forgetting to prepare for the presence.
Yes, sir.
The bridegroom came. Oh, they all went to scrambling then. Oh, but the 5 wise virgins never stopped pursuing what it would take to be able to go into the presence of the bridegroom.
Come on.
This is a modern day pandemic of the church today. We're sitting around waiting on the promise in our self-preservation state, sitting here claiming to have faith. Waiting on Jesus to split the clouds of glory. And it said, when he returns, will he find faith?
Yeah.
Those 5 wise virgins had faith.
Good idea.
That at any moment the bridegroom could come.
Come on.
And at the midnight hour, he came. There was a cry that came for us, said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." I'm here tonight to proclaim the bridegroom is coming. But will you be found foolish? Or will you be found wise? Because there's a difference in believing in the promise. And there's another difference in actually pursuing the one who gave the promise.
Yes, sir. Wow. Yes, sir.
But we sit here and we just await this promise to come to pass. And we quit preparing ourselves for the actual one whose presence will bring the promise to fruition. Jesus. Don't become idle in your faith. Sitting around. Waiting on a promise. And find one day that you'll completely miss the presence.
Yes, sir.
Man, what a sorrowful state to come and bang on that door. Saying, "Oh, but I'm ready now."
Yeah, it's too late.
Wow. Too late. No, it's too late. You sat around waiting for what you knew was coming. And then when it came, you weren't ready.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you tonight, if you'll pursue the presence, you'll always receive the promise. If you'll pursue the presence, you'll always receive the promise.
Yes, sir.
You see, those virgins, they did what it took. They trimmed that oil. Their lamps were ready. They knew that when that bridegroom comes, I've got to be ready. I've got to be ready. I know that the promise is there, but I know that the promise is no good if I'm not there to be in the presence of the one in which the promise lies.
Come on.
The promise came to every virgin there that was sitting there waiting on the bridegroom. It came for everyone. But only half of them entered into the presence. Tonight, I want to ask you, we're going to ask some serious questions tonight. Tonight, are you pursuing the promise more than you are the presence? I can tell you that if you'll set your eyes back on Jesus and you'll begin to pursue the one who holds the presence, who is the one that our heart should long for, you will find that one day when those clouds split, Jesus steps out of that eastern sky. Oh, you won't be scrambling around looking for your oil. Oh, no. Oh, you'll be there. You'll say, "I've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah.
I've been preparing for the presence." And now you'll go and receive your promise. I've just gotten to the point where the only promise that I really am looking for is the one that gave his life for me. Every Old Testament saint has said that they died looking into the promise. You know what that promise was? It was Jesus. They were looking in that Old Testament ahead to when Jesus would come. Every one of them died persuaded of the promise. I'm persuaded that Jesus is coming back. Oh, come on. Y'all got to help me better than this. I'm persuaded that Jesus is coming back. And forgive me if I'm heavenly minded and I'm looking for a country whose builder and maker is God, a city that has foundations. I just want to be in the presence. Whatever it takes, all the promises, that'll all be taken care of with one glimpse of him in glory. Oh, man. I'm telling you, one glimpse of him in glory will all the toils of life repay. Anything that he asks of me, more than willing. Why? Because I want to be there. I want to be ready. When the cry comes, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Tonight, are you pursuing the promise more than you are the presence? Are you waiting on the promises more than you are the one in which the promises lie? Some of you tonight are going to get your eyes set back on Christ. You're going to see that every promise that Christ gave you, it all lies within Him. If you're not pursuing Christ, you'll never see those promises come to pass. You just won't do it. It's not how it works. It's all about pursuing the One. Pursuing the One so that one day when He comes, you'll be able to stand in His presence. The next point I would like to make is that faith fights familiarity. Faith fights familiarity. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 38.
Help us, Lord God. Speak to us, Lord.
And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah,
yeah,
of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets. Listen to this now. Who through faith, what did they do through faith? Subdued kingdoms,
yeah,
wrought righteousness,
yeah,
obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead back to life,
yeah,
and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance,
yes, sir,
that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, which means sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Oh, but listen what it says of these people, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Can I tell you that what you read, what I just read to you in that passage of Scripture, is how you and I should be men and women of faith.
Yes, sir. Come on.
But the church has become far too familiar with this world.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, it has.
We've become so consumed with the American dream. Listen, I'm not talking about myself anymore, but I have heard men, I've heard stories of men who had pastor opportunities come up. The church wanted that person to be the pastor, and he said, I've got too much time invested in my job.
Come on.
I'm too close to retirement to give it up.
Jesus.
And you know what's happened is that same mindset has settled into so many of us in the modern day church.
Yes,
and we've allowed the giants of this world, the giants of sin, to stand in that valley and mock our God.
Yeah.
The roar of the lion is louder than it's ever been.
Come on.
And men and women who claim to have faith, who claim to have a promise, sit on that hillside and allow it to go on.
Jesus.
Is there not a cause?
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm here to challenge you tonight, GFCC. Is there not a cause to shake ourselves? To allow faith to fight the familiarity of our life.
Come on. Do it, God.
But we sit back and we just wait on the promises. And the whole time, the world is watching you and I. And they're wanting to know, you claim to have something better than we have.
Yes.
Women receive their dead back to life. So many of us have just written off all of humanity.
Come on.
We've just written them off. They're destitute. They're terrible individuals. They don't deserve grace. They don't deserve mercy. God, I'm just going to sit here until you come back.
Yes, sir.
And you know what that's done? The world has waxed worse and worse.
Amen.
And the church has gotten weaker and weaker.
Yes, sir.
How do you subdue the mouth of a lion? It's by faith knowing that when I get tossed in that den,
yeah, Lord Jesus,
the One who I judge to be faithful,
yeah,
is going to come through for me time and time again.
Yes, sir.
How familiar are you tonight with your life the way that it is?
Come
Now, the beautiful thing, I already said it earlier, God knows exactly what's a stronghold in your life. He knows exactly what takes precedence over him in your life. And you know what he's going to do every single time? He's going to come and he's going to put his finger on it every single time. But you know what happens is when you tell God no, the next thing you'll know, it's been 40 days that you've been standing on that mountainside. And you've been letting that Goliath mock your God. You're still, those Israelite men, you better believe they were still devout Jews. They still honored the Sabbath. I'm convinced of it. They didn't abandon who they claimed to be when they were on the side of that mountain.
That's right.
No, but what they did is they become so accustomed to how life would be now with this giant that not one of those men had the guts to stand up and say, is there not a cause?
Come on, brother. Praise the Lord. All but David.
David came to that battlefield and he looked around. And he said, is there not a cause?
Come on.
It's time for some men and women of faith in GFCC, in Gridney, Florida, to stand up once again and say, is there not a cause?
Yes.
But the only way that any of this ever changes is if you start walking by faith.
Yes.
Walking in faith. Those men believed who God was. They believed in God. But they weren't willing to be the ones to walk in faith.
That's right.
You see, that's just an absolute pandemic in the church. I don't know any other word than that. I guess it's because we just went through one in 2020. But it's a real pandemic in the church is that we no longer have real, authentic, genuine faith.
Come on.
We like to talk about how we've cheapened grace. Oh, man, we've just made faith coming up and having faith that somebody's going to be healed when you lay your hands on them.
Come on.
No, a lot of the times that God isn't able to do things through us is because we've not walked in faith up to that moment.
Come on. Help us, Lord.
How can we lay hands on the sick and expect them to be healed when we ourselves are not walking in faith?
Come on.
Jesus came. It says in that last verse of Hebrews 11, it said, God having provided, as the last two verses, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, that promise being Christ, that God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. If these men and women who we just read did all of these things through faith, and they didn't have Jesus yet.
Come on.
Oh my God, church, how much more should you and I walk in faith knowing that we've obtained the promise?
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
I've got the blood of Jesus applied to my heart. But we're so weak as Christians, the modern church. Man, we can't hardly pray a flea off a dog's back. Claiming to be, man, we've got the Holy Ghost too. Jesus, the great promise. Then he dies and he promises, look, they're going to kill me, but in 3 days I will resurrect.
Yes, sir.
And then when he resurrects, he comes back and he makes another promise that he'll send the Comforter, one who will endue us with the Holy Ghost and fire, the Holy Ghost and power. And we wander around begging God, tell God, take me out of this trial. Take me out of this place. God, what if he's the one that put you there?
That's right.
I said this in Sunday school last week. I taught on the discipline of God. And I said, there's so many times that even in my own life, that things have happened, and I automatically, you just want to always believe it's the devil.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just God trying to get some things out of you.
Yeah.
Those men and women could have opted out. They could have opted out. They were sawn in two. They were pulled apart by all four corners with horses. They were burned upside down on crosses.
Yeah.
They could have walked away.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it. Why? Because they had real faith.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, I don't know how bad this thing's going to get before Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
But you better start doing some inventory and realize that one day it could cost you everything.
Yes, sir.
Your faith could absolutely cost you everything.
Yes.
But you know what? If it does, you'll be with the one. Every promise will then be fulfilled. Every heartache, every trial, every tribulation. You'll stand there in awe of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Sister Stacy, just like you said, you'll take that crown off and lay it at his feet. Oh, what a moment. What a moment. You say, Brother Trevor, how are you going to make it to heaven? How will I make it to heaven? Number one is by grace. You must have the faith to accept the grace of God. But that grace comes with a price. Now you must walk in faith. Obedience in faith. Walking towards the promises that God has for your life. Promises are good things. There's a reason that God promised you these things. But you must not allow those promises to take precedence over Him. We must not allow our promises to come in between us and God. Because when you do, He's going to ask you to lay it on that altar every single time. And if he does so, and you find yourself in that position that I must lay my Isaac down, then you need to know that if he actually takes it, then glory be to God. Because there will be a resurrection power of Christ through that promise in your life.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, us selling our house, it's not even completely finalized yet, but there's details that would just blow your mind. If I could, I just don't feel the liberty to do that. But I'm just telling you, you will see the goodness of God operating in your life. Even if he comes to you and takes that promise back, it's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. Christ is more alive in me now than he was 2 weeks ago. It's just, it's that real. Faith is more than just believing. It's saying yes to God and pursuing his presence. Wherever it may take you. Our faith is perfected through the works ordered and instructed by God and is absolutely necessary to live in unity with Him.
Yes.
I read it tonight in the opening of my message. It said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? I hope during this message, at some point, you've been taking inventory in your life. Because it's a real thing that Jesus is coming back. But will he look at you, Elaney, and see faith in your life? I'm not talking about some cheap faith who just said a sinner's prayer and then didn't ever walk with Christ any further. I'm talking about real, authentic, genuine faith that Abraham said, God, wherever you lead me, I'll go. God, if you ask for Isaac, I'll give you Isaac. All of these men shut the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. All of these things, how did it happen? Through faith.
Amen.
You want to see God use your life. You want to see him work miracles. You want to obtain promises in your life. I can tell you this, it'll happen if you'll start walking in real faith.
Yes, sir.
If you'll stop making faith just something that you have to exercise on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and you wake up and your feet hit the ground and you say, God, I don't know where you're taking me today, but I can tell you this, that step by step by step by step by step, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Every time he'll do it. You see, faith always takes you past the limitations of where you're comfortable being. That's the whole purpose of faith, is that when you've reached the limitation of how much you trust God, he looks at you and he says, will you do it one more step? And you stand there and you look at it and you say, but God, I don't know. This is difficult. My marriage is falling apart, God. I don't know, God. I don't want my child to grow up in a broken home. And he says, but will you trust me to take one more step?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But God, I've got children who don't know you. I'm afraid if I do what you're asking me to do, they won't understand. It'll turn their hearts harder towards you. God says, but will you take one more step? I'm here to tell somebody tonight that it's time to start walking by faith again.
Yes, sir.
It's time for the church. We're in the last days.
Yes.
I've heard it my whole life, but I'm convinced.
Yes.
I'm convinced we're in the last days.
Too,
but will you walk by faith? Because when Jesus comes, he's looking to see if there's faith. He's looking to see if you've been earnestly and diligently seeking after him. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Somebody come play for me.